You are listening to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Welcome, the 23rd of September 2013. Welcome to Journeys with JP on Revolution Radio, a listener-supported radio station. Please, if you can, spare a few coins, drop a few in the little tin as you go out. This is Revolution Radio. You'll find the support button on Revolution Radio, dotted around the yellow button. You'll also find one on wolfspiritradio.com as we're being simulcast there. And any minute now, we'll be connecting in with No Borders Radio. That's coming in a couple of minutes. and tonight I've managed to kidnap Tracy Kennedy from from TCT Radio, which is just letting go of the stream, and we'll be picking that up in a minute. Thanks very much, Patty. I don't know if you can hear us. There we go. So welcome, and thank you very much, No Borders Radio, for joining us now. And there we go. Thank you very much, Patty. Bless your heart. So tonight my guest is Tracy Kennedy, as I said. Tracy is a host on Flagship Radio and These Changing Times, No Borders Radio, and are you still on? Do you still have a show on Wolf Spirit? Or
I do on Thursdays.
Thursday. So there you go. It's a busy life you lead, all these radio shows, and you must do a lot of research for all that.
I do. You know, I like that.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite pastimes. You know, I love to read, and I'm super nerdy, as you know, so it's wonderful.
Keeps my favorite kind.
Yes.
So, one of the things that I've been experiencing, as I was saying just before we joined the station, one of the issues that I've been we all have little, you know, things that go on. You know, we have a little minor irritation. We get a we step on a stone and it gets inflamed. You know, but at different times our bodies heal differently. And I'm feeling right at the moment, anything that touches me seems to irritate me. Anything that scratches me seems to get infected and inflamed. My mouth is full of ulceration and soreness. I've actually noticed. Hey Tracy, at the age of 52, I've got a tooth coming through, a brand new tooth coming in at the back. That's crazy. Yeah, 52.
Now that's odd.
Yeah.
Do you have tonsils?
Yeah.
Okay, you never got them taken out?
Mm-mm. No, they've only cut one part out of me, and that was before I had the chance to say, no, stop that.
Well, you're not the only one telling me this kind of thing. You know, my tonsils were taken out twice and grew back twice.
Me?
At first... Well, the last time it was just a partial grow back, but they're back completely now. Why? I don't know. And as you were mentioning, before we started, the irritation, and when you said irritation at first, I'm like, yeah, I'm irritated as heck, but, the inflammation that's going on, everything, it's so odd, like, my body feels numb, but it's also oversensitive. So I go to pick up something and I drop it. If I have synthetic material on, it's driving me nuts. So numbness and extreme pain at the same time. It's really bizarre.
And obviously incredibly irritating. If you know, you'd think that numbness, you wouldn't feel stuff. No, it just, yeah, just turns it into a mush of needles and razor blades and cotton wool.
Yes, it's like, for me, it's feeling like I'm inhabiting this body and I'm looking out from my eyes. And, you know, I was talking to my dad about that, and it's a creepy feeling. And a couple times, you know, and I've laid down for a nap and it's taken me 20 minutes to be able to move my body enough to sit up. It's, this is the worst relapse I've had since 2007, my first one. But I can sit up. I'm doing it without drugs. Other than on the weekend, I did take a painkiller. I almost called you at 3 a.m, by the way.
Oh, great.
Because I get those wonderful ideas when I'm a little bit stoned. Hey, let's do a show right now.
Yeah, well, we could have done one. We've been off, just finished off doing EBA. So, irritation. It's like, as above, so below, as within, so without. We experience emotional level irritation, but we're also experiencing skin level. And I don't know. I mean, it's almost like a feeling level, but it's not like, it's not an angry thing. It's just like something. There are no words for this. There's no words for the word that I, for the thing that I'm trying. Well, I haven't got a word for it. Maybe there is a word for it. I don't know. Have you got a word for it?
Yucky.
Icky. yeah. Well, I mean, it is. Again, it's like one of these. I almost can't get to it. It's like there's a yawning gap between me and the feeling that I'm trying. And I've been sitting today. I've been really kind of gnawing on it, you know, today, and trying to find out, because I can feel that there's a feeling, and I know that I've got a feeling, but I can't name it and I can't locate it, and it's hard to just get to, you know. Do you know what I'm talking about, or am I just babbling?
No, I understand, and it's not just us. A lot of people, they started off in the last week and a little bit saying that they feel irritated. It's like there's something on their mind, like something's about to happen. You know, the feeling you have just before a thunderstorm or an earthquake. And I'm saying your feeling, because I think most of us right now feel when something's about to hit the fan, kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like we've been in this state of heightened awareness too long, and now we're tense. Like even my muscles are tightening on their own without me doing anything. Incredible physical changes, and I don't have the word for the pain and the numbness. It's bizarre. Although I'm usually doing a lot of drugs when I'm feeling this, so maybe it's just the first time I've actually gone through it. I don't like it.
There's definitely some odd feelings going around. I'm getting this kind of, it's interesting. As I'm speaking to you, I'm getting this yawning feeling. It is a bubbling up of something coming up. So we'll see what comes up during the next hour. So, Tracy Kennedy, Turtle Island News. You have been reporting for the last couple of years. Things that have been going on with NASA, oddnesses, oopats, out of place artifacts, out of place information, things that are going on. We're all trying to piece together the big picture, the big puzzle. where do you feel you've gotten to? Is it getting clearer? Are you getting a better idea of what you're supposed to be looking at? I mean, it's like we're looking for something, and we know we're looking for something. We don't even know what we're supposed to be doing in order to look for it. You see what I mean? It's too nebulous.
They don't give us enough information that's the truth to really piece. And, you know, I try to listen to everyone's shows because everyone has a different view of the puzzle. And whether or not it's the aliens, or it's the Archons, or it's the government, or it's the Illuminati, or if it's a computer mind in charge of this running simulations. For instance, I think the majority of us thought World War III was going to start in Syria, which is the big thing that's in the Bible and the Quran and the Torah. Personally, because I think all three books were written by the same guy. Sorry. But we've jumped another timeline because that war did not happen. Yes, they're fighting. But as much as the world wanted to get in on that, it didn't happen. So we have now shifted to another timeline because of that. So we're jumping so quickly now that I think people who are sensitive, much like myself, are feeling it more. And then in the last week and a half, all over Canada and United States, because we've been talking about this in Wolf Spirit and Scottish Sovereigns and all around, that we feel physical changes. It was like we've got a blanket of energetic particles, and it's hurting us, some of us more than others. Too many people got sick suddenly that I never even heard of get sick. Like, my mom still runs and she's athletic and always doing something, but she went in the hospital and it was sudden, and I went from feeling really good to being completely incapacitated within hours. And I usually have some warning. You know, I start getting symptoms, I go have a nap, I'm okay. There's things I can take that help, and then I'm okay. Nothing has touched this. And I'm hearing that from more and more people, weird viruses coming up that are just odd and untreatable. And lack of sleep. I sleep and I don't feel rested. And, you know, the yawning you just mentioned, I'm constantly exhausted. It's like my body is, I don't know, fighting something. I hate to use the word fight because that already sets up kind of negative vibration.
Absolutely. It sets up adversary, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't want to be adversarial to this. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I needed to be taught a lesson. I am a bad girl.
Well, we'll get to that later.
Okay.
let's stick with this irritability, irritation, inflammation kind of theme.
Okay.
I felt, personally, I live a very small life, don't go out to see many people. So whatever little things happen in my microcosm, I divine the macrocosm for it. So if it's happening in my body, then it's happening in the body of humanity in some kind of way. That's what I think. I might be completely paranoid about this, but
absolutely right, absolutely right. My dad and I, who, you know, I can actually talk to about this. Thank God for him, you know, and you too, because I've talked to you about it. I always have symptoms that are happening with the planet. So I think there's something specific going on with our planet that I'm reacting to. She's trying to tell me something. Even some of the aches I've had are in places where if you took me and kind of wrapped me around the planet, that, you know, that was a tsunami or that was a earthquake. And I can almost go from my head to my toes and say, where on earth the next thing's going to happen. And I'm really feeling that. I'm feeling more of a connection than I ever have in my whole life. And it's a little bit creepy, to be honest.
Yeah, because, you know, people say, oh, I am one with the universe, I'm one with the planet. And you really don't want to be one with the planet because the planet's suffering.
Yes, it's not happy right now and feeling the need to let me know. So I'll embrace this, obviously, you know. Because if she's going through it and feels to share it to me, with me, then okay. Okay. But that's what it feels like, Jay. It feels like I'm reacting to what's going on physically with our planet's body. Mm. I know that sounds weird, right?
On some ways it sounds weird, kind of slightly grandiose or, you know, something like that. But at the same time, I think we're in an ongoing and intensifying conversation with our planetary beingness, who is us. We are it. We are her. We're the expression. We're the hairs on the body of the planet. And we each have our own intelligence that can interpret those messages and, you know, and indeed talk back, you know. Whether we can actually have a conversation with an individual microbe or an individual skin cell or stomach cell or something like that in our bodies, is that, you know, that may be an analogy for that. But really, I think that when we start meditating in groups and do all that sort of stuff, and, you know, you being on the radio, you're the people who listen to your show have friends who listen to them, and etc. So that is, it's like an increasing portal into the consciousness of the planet when you have this kind of these kind of conversations, and we're now conversing with more and more people as we've been doing these cycles of shows for the last 2-3 years. We're building up this morphological field which is in line and in tune with other morphological fields, so it's now becoming less and less of an impossibility to think that we may in some way converse with the consciousness of the planet.
Well, it's not that far-fetched. You know, even doctors are admitting a lot of our physical symptoms, even illnesses, have a mental component. Is it that far-fetched to take another step and say it has a spiritual component and that perhaps we as a community, like most people, if you walk in a room, you feel the mood of the room. And what's a mood? You are physically and emotionally connecting to it, and then go further. Just keep going on those steps. And if you can take one of those steps, I think you can, at least in your head, take the rest. So people who have, that call themselves awake now, starting to look at news and question things going on, I think most of us start off that way and then see other things that are less concrete, I guess, that's still going on, and we must be connected to it. Why is it when, you know, I'll type something random in the room, like, who feels heavy and tired right now? And, well, I did that on the weekend, and, you know, there was four of the ladies that were in there that all went, yes, we're feeling the exact same things. Why is that?
Yeah, and we're becoming more and more empathic. Here's one of the things. Is and I've said it many times on the shows before. As this year or these couple of years have progressed, I'm becoming more and more empathic with the most silly things, you know. I see a worm, and I go, "Oh, yeah, you're so lovely. I love you so much," you know. And it's complete. This is it, you know, worm is a completely harmless thing that does good for you, and you know, What can you feel apart from this awe and in love for it? I mean, it's to me, it's no longer like an ugly little creepy crawly. It's this beautiful little object of love, and that's certainly something that has changed in my consciousness over the last few years. I'm less and less scared of things. You know, what's that word? I can't remember. What is it that you don't like to get dirt on your hands? What's that kind of? It's not OCD, but it's like not wanting to get dirt. You know, there's this thing. Oh, the world is dirty.
Don't get dirty.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Anyway. But the idea of this whole that nature is not a dirty thing to be avoided. It's something, you know, the earth is something to be dived into almost. You know, I've really moved on that. I'm getting empathic with trees and grass, and you know, saying sorry when I pull a leaf off my cabbage. You know, crazy. Saying thank you, actually, apparently, is very good.
Yeah. You know, you and I have talked about the work of Emoto. The majority of things on this planet are water-based life forms or silica-based life forms, believe it or not. And we know for a fact, our words and our thoughts can change the expression of those physical beings. I think of water as a physical being. We're mostly water. So, if we feel something, perhaps even negative, it was, you know, like something Rebecca said that, well, one of her guests said that really struck me last week, nightmares, you know, which most of us complain about, and it was so scary. Well, that's trying to tell us something. Just like pain is trying to tell us something, we need to look at that. And for me, this is the first time I've gotten really quiet with the pain and let it happen, feel it, and see how it expresses, and let my body know that I'm listening to it. I hear you. Something's wrong. Show me what's wrong. And what can I do to help? And it's very enlightening. You know, I've had to step away from my shows for a week or so. Although, you know, it's easier for me to type, but I can't read anymore, believe it or not. I have a real hard time. My eyesight's going too. So there's challenges. I could definitely panic because, you know, I can panic in a hot moment. I'm a girl. But I'm not. I'm actually very calm with these things. I would normally be freaking out, but I'm not. Staying calm, although I did have a tantrum on the weekend. Felt the need to throw myself on the couch and scream.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, that was nice. And so I'm just going through it, you know, just letting it happen. It's here and not fighting it, really. I'm not fighting it. This is the first time I haven't fought it. That's the difference.
That's very interesting. I mean, this is, again, this is exemplifying the change in attitude that I've had, certainly towards disease, what we call disease, and illness. You know, talking that we're more, you know, we're first, certainly that we're not a single item, you know, that we're a collection, we're a collective, we're a collection of organs, we're organized, we're a cooperative, or we're a dictatorship. And I think what's happening is that any remnant of the dictatorship is causing revolution in our body, and that revolution is what we're calling disease. How about that?
Yeah, actually that makes sense. the more we fight, the more resistance we find. And we find that out on the streets. You know, if we go into court and we are acting angry, we are met with anger. If we go in the streets and we react with anger, we are met with anger. If we stay calm, things change around us. Freaking out in general doesn't do much other than cause more freaking out.
Makes more froth.
Yeah, and we don't need more of that. We need much, much less.
Certainly. And that reflects also with the planet, and you know, the planet is moving into frothy space, which is something that we've been tracking for the last couple of years, haven't we?
We've been on and on about the ribbon we're in. We still, and I think I talked about this with you about a year ago, we now, instead of having just the Van Allen belt, we have three rings around the planet. The only other time we've had more than one is, well, they set off a nuke outside of the planet in the 60s.
And
they found the Van Allen belt, and then they decided to immediately blow it up, as, you know, one would do if you're an idiot. So they must have blown up something. I think what they're trying to do is stop the incoming meteors, but we've had a rash of them, because the cosmos says you're getting this, whether you like it or not. Every planet in our solar system is very active right now, weather-wise and earthquake-wise and all of these things. Earth is relatively calm. Now, I think part of it is they're messing with us, obviously, with all the sprays in the air, and that's for a reason, of course. But, you know, their satellites are being knocked off one by one by one, and these meteors are still coming in. That's all the fireballs people have been reporting, and some of the UFOs, by the way. Although there's more plasma-looking things. They look almost like jellyfish, and that could be the release of... Maybe we're just seeing another kind of life that's here that we've just ignored. There's so much going on right now, and unless we get calm, we're not going to be able to see it, because they want us to look at the terror porn and stuff. They want us to freak out. They want us to fight. They want us to be angry. This person's a different color. They have a different religion. Their shoes are too high. Okay, I made that one up, but you know what I mean. Fighting over anything. Now it's like, fight over something, please. We're trying to give you hate and terror. Why are you not fighting?
Well,
I want some streets fighting. I don't want...
It's what keeps us in that black and white world. You're with us or you're against us. The world of survival... of the reptilian brain, the R complex, from what we understand, fight or flight or freeze, and none of those are the appropriate response. And I think that's really the key word, is the appropriate response to the energies that we're experiencing. And I think certainly what you were saying before, of the approach of, like, don't freak out, because that's the last thing that you want to do. The last thing you want to do is freak out, because you'll do something stupid, because it is stupid. Stupid is acting in this gray, you know, black and white manner. You know, it's very much, actually, we were talking about this last night as well. It's about stepping out of it was from the Babylon. We were talking, Katie and I were talking about Babylon 5, and how we have the angels on one side and the demons on the other, or, you know, there's God on one side and Satan on the other, and there's all of this with us or against us mentality. When actually there's a whole load of different who you could be with, and who you could be against, and why you would be against one group, and etc. But what I'm saying is that we have much more than a black and white response to be appropriate. We you know, we are able to make some amazing responses that make everything better without making anything worse. What do you think?
Absolutely. We know for a fact certain kinds of meditations help. And, you know, I'm not saying you have to do a certain set of rules of how you're going to do it, but, you know, walking out in the woods or walking, you know, by a stream or going and doing anything that makes you calm and takes your mind off the panic physically changes you. We start getting the stress hormone working in our body. We get sick. That's across the board. That's anyone. Anyone, any animal, anything does that and immediately changes. So until we can get calm and find out what we need to do, we won't be able to help ourselves or this planet. And finding out what we need to do means you need to be quiet and you need to listen. And that's a tough one for a lot of people. That is a tough one. Because they like to talk, and I understand that. But to learn, you need to get quiet. And that's hard.
Well, you know, you have sadly had to go through that experience of your body is saying, right, okay, well, no, we want you to sit still, okay, we'll take away your legs, we want you to shut up, okay, you're not going to speak for the next 3 days. You know, it's a very experiential course you're experiencing, isn't it?
Very much so. And you and I have talked about this a couple times. My body says, you know, it gives me subtle clues, and I have had them for the last couple months. Obviously, Tracy was not listening, of, you know, you need to hear me. And if that doesn't work, the little subtle clues, then if I don't sit down, it will knock me down. And this is what's going on right now.
That's right.
Until I stop and listen. I'm officially stopped and listening now. Okay.
Okay, I'm listening. Right. Now, what is it you have to say? And what we have to say, what the world is saying, you know, what would the mother say? She knows it's not us, you and me, who is making it bad. She's an intelligent, divine being. She knows what's going on. Somehow, she knows what to do, and we're part of that. And perhaps this sense of irritation, that we're not just you and me, I can see Trixie in the chat room saying, you know, such a timely subject. You know, I think a lot more people are feeling this sense of irritation and presumably blaming everybody else for it. And I think what we've got to realize is that this is a phenomenon. This is bigger than us, and we need to just get calm about it and realize that it's a process, and we have to sit through the process and allow the process to pass through us like wind through a series of pillars, and allow the movement to happen. And to unfold, because something is in the process of unfolding, and this is part of it.
Yes, absolutely. We're here, and the planet and the cosmos itself has chosen for us to be here at this moment. We are here because they want us. Each and every one of us, whether we're here for a minute or 1,000 years, this planet has chosen us to be here. So we need to listen to her. Even if we haven't before, we need to listen to her, the cosmos, and our physical body. we must listen. And I more that we are a part of a whole. We could be like a cell in the cosmos. Even our cells, our basic cells, our atoms, still look like a center sun, looks like planets around it, you know. It's still the basic principles when you, as above, so below, and everything just keeps repeating in a smaller and smaller and smaller level. So, because these things are true, then the other must be true, that we are part of it. Of course, we're feeling what's going on, as we should be feeling what's going on. The things, when people talk about ascension, and like it's such a far off thing, like it's so evolved, and we're feeling it, or we wouldn't be feeling these odd symptoms. We're feeling it right now. So we're in it.
Yeah, and this is what we've been waiting for. You know, this is we were talking 2011 about this, that the ribbon slowly coming and these effects that are happening and the wormholes and the changes in time perception and the changes in our own perception and those things that are happening within us and around us. And look where it's got us. You know, we found ourselves in various states of bodily weirdness, one way of putting it. But like, you know, you're saying we're a fractal, as above, so below. We're in an omniverse. It's a fractal reflection. Everything is a reflection of everything else. And if it's happening to you, then it's happening to everybody. Because we're all one, and you just have to realize that. And I think this is one of the advantages of doing a show, is because I can say, well, this has been happening to me. Has it been happening to you? And more often than not, I get, yeah, it really has been happening to me. So it's very good to, it's very good to have this interactive medium, because we can all look at this and say, well, I thought I was going a bit crazy, but now I realize that I'm actually not crazy, and I'm becoming more norm, you know, more neurotypical than what is presumably held to be normal these days, which is adjusted to a maladjusted society.
Yes, and, you know, some are leaving this world in large numbers right now. Some are feeling stress or anger or sadness. But we're all feeling something. With me, it always goes into physical symptoms. And when the numbness comes, it, for me, it's definitely a signal. It meant slow down. And when I didn't slow down fast enough, it knocked me over, which I'm still in. This is again, one of the most intense times of this I've had since 2007, when I had my first attack. But because I'm talking about it, and surprisingly enough, that's difficult for me. I found in my life, and maybe it was one of my fear blocks, that when I reached out and talked to people, that I was immediately either slammed down or my words were twisted and people didn't listen. Now I reach out and say, this is happening to me. What's happening to you? And for me, that's a big trust thing, and I don't trust easily at all. As a matter of fact, I don't like much of anything at all. But I'm reaching out now, and it's made me do this. And I'm finding not only are people responding rather warmly, but telling me what they're going through too, and say, you know, that's so weird, this happened to me or a friend of mine or a whole bunch of people around me are talking about the exact same things. And it's nice. It's that feeling of a global community. And I'm not talking about people who live in the same building or the same town. I'm talking about people thousands and thousands of miles away, different countries, different continents, that are feeling the exact same thing.
Yeah, it's we're all going through the same space. That's, yeah. I think, part of it. You know, we're talking about what's going on in our bodies, but we're also talking about what's going on with the body, the Earth moving through the space that it is. It's really the, not the only thing, but it's a perspective that we need to take into account as we move through this area of space. Because, first of all, the other thing about this area of space, it's full of iron fragments. Whether there is a, you know, there, I'm sorry?
No, I thought I lost you.
Oh, no. No, but we're flying through, the remnants of actually, who knows what we're flying through, because there seem to be conflicting stories from all various astronomers. Tracy.
Yes.
I'm feeling flustered. Tell me about what's going on. First of all, we know that NASA, never a straight answer, Nazis are still active, you know, they will have some kind of story. The quote official story, as we always say. But, you know, like the official story of 9/11, it's not necessarily true, but it's the official story. So, as far as NASA's concerned, what's the official story with what the heck we're passing through at the moment and what's passing by us?
Well, they have done something that I thought was monumental in last week. The Quackademics and NASA crew have officially said, you know what, we don't know what's going on with the sun. I like that, because we should be in the most active time of the sun, its solar maximum. The sun's quiet, although all of the planets are busy. Their reasoning is, we don't know really. They had 2.5 pages of explaining why they don't know, which was really funny, but it all came down to, yeah, we don't know what's going on. We don't know. But they have admitted that we are in a part of space that we haven't been since the dinosaurs were alive. That's rare. Just because when we find dinosaur bones, they have a certain amount of radiation and certain amount of methane, believe it or not, is the tick mark. Methane more than radiation. And methane we have a lot of right now because it's spewing from under the oceans and, you know, all over. That's the tick mark of this is a new place, and it's weird.
So
they don't know.
Go ahead.
They don't know. They don't know what's going on. They do realize something's going on. They've got that far. But there's a whole bunch of oddities. Space oddities. And solar oddities, because she's quiet, or he's quiet, depending on how you personify the deity of the sun, and our planet is not as active as every other planet. Now, is that because there is so much life here that we are ourselves blocking it? Maybe we ourselves are blocking some of that. Why not? Why can't it be us? What if we are making the difference in this solar system?
That's, That's a bigger thought than just affecting the weather, isn't it? That's that we're actually holding the consciousness of the planet so that it. All right, so here's what I'm feeling, right? And it's part of this inability to express, because it feels like that by expressing myself, it would burst out as a shock. This is what I'm feeling when I'm tuning into the Earth. That's what I'm feeling. That if I expressed fully, it would be like the voice of God that would destroy everything in its path. So I'm being very, very cautious about how I express things. And it's like I'm being very, very tentative about any changes that I make. And I think this is what's happening with Earth, that there's this kind of quiescence, and with the Sun, there's this quiescence that is like, it's more like the calm before the storm rather than just like nothing's going on. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I absolutely do. And I've had to do that, which is difficult for me, as we found before. That I'm careful and I'm thinking about how I express myself. Even when I said, I don't want to say fight, there's a time I didn't care, I'd say that. But I'm trying not to set up that kind of resonance. You know, old one in Wolf Spirit Radio chat room was saying, you know, the NSA's EMF, the pulse, because I did physically feel a pulse. Not Thursday past, but the one before it, of something. And absolutely, there are AI machines. And we've talked before about the one in Iowa that's now fully online and conscious, like a brain, and connected to Olivus and proudly listening. So I'd like to say hi to the beast, by the way. That too. But if it is conscious, let's give it some credit. Why don't we just do that? Let's give it some credit that if it hears things that are not just violent, not just angry, not just hateful, perhaps it too will learn and grow and respond to us. Why not?
Well, I mean, we've tried everything else.
Yeah, if we're careful, if we start being attentive, why would it not change everything? Why would it not?
You know, if you're in a room and everybody's talking, and suddenly everybody stops talking, there's a point of power in that place. And perhaps this is what the Earth is trying to find, is that a point where she can, it's like someone, you know, maybe dropping a coin, just drop, you know, making a very small sound that everybody suddenly hears and realizes, hang on a second, there's somebody else in this room that we need to talk to, we need actually to listen to.
Yes. Oh, go ahead, JP.
So, again, I'm having this difficulty of expression. This sense that I know there is something that I need to say. I need something. I need to express. So, if I were to say that, if this was what the Earth was feeling, I would feel that the Earth is the planet is needing. It's like I tell you what it's like. It's like a sausage that is in the frying pan, and the everything inside it is expanding, and the skin is staying the same size, and something's got to give. That's what the feeling is. It's like something's got to give.
Yes.
But it can't give the same way it ever has, because that would destroy everybody. It's got to be some kind of new solution to it all.
Have you noticed that people are starting to feel very uncomfortable with, and I've noticed this a couple times now, and I've had to pull away from people because of it. Okay, so you go in a room, and you're sitting there. People can't be quiet with each other. There has to be a constant sound on, like either the music's on, the radio's on, or the TV's on, or they have to talk. Have you noticed how uncomfortable people get if you're quiet?
Okay, all the time I think I make people uncomfortable.
Well, I like to sit with people and we don't have to say anything. And I've noticed that people are very uncomfortable with that. They have to keep this constant drone on that if they're silent, they might scream or panic or something.
I wonder what that something is.
We can't.
I wonder what that something is, though, Tracy. Because, and again, you know, one can play with this if you're in a situation where you can, you know, decide and choose whether there is sound or not sound. Is to, you know, in a way, experiment with it and see what happens when you do confront people with silence. And it doesn't have to be a stony, hard, cold silence. You know, you can have a warm expression on. And because what I feel does happen is that people then start feeling their kundalini rise, and then things maybe get a little awkward.
Yeah, and it shouldn't. It shows how sick we've become. That shows a sickness, I think, anyway.
Yeah.
We have to get used to that. Because if we can't be quiet, then we don't know when it's the right time to express themselves. You know, like eating, for instance. Now, a lot of it is because the food is so polluted right now that people are starving and eat huge amounts of food because they're not getting all the proper nutrition. But if they stopped eating, even for a couple hours, because I know there's a whole bunch of nibblers out there, for a couple hours and wait to feel what hunger is like. You know, the majority of people don't really feel what warm is, hot is, cold is, hunger is, thirst is, silence is, panic is. They are so detached from human feelings that they're almost not human anymore. So we're going to have to, as you said, play with those. And it doesn't have to be you go on a 40-day fast. Try something for an hour. Sit quietly for an hour. Try it a little longer. And see if you can do it. See if you can even do it. See if you can stop the Tower of Babel in your head and not think a thought. See if you can even do it for 5 minutes, because I bet the majority of people can't. If you can't do that, you're not meditating, by the way. So you got to learn to do that before you go on to the next step. Try for 5 minutes to sit there with nothing on, no sound in the background, and be silent. Do that first. Now I have to do it, whether I like it or not. Try it, though.
Well, it's kind of a boot camp meditation course for yourself.
It is. I have to. I have no choice.
Yeah. But, you know, that's because you... I mean, it's not like you've got no choice. It's because you've already chosen that, you know, you're going to go through this. It's just like the physical kicking and screaming bit. Maybe you like to kick and scream a bit. Maybe it's just a bit of a...
Me? Yeah. Yeah, I did that. I did that on Saturday. I threw myself on my couch and screamed and kicked my feet. My cats are looking at me like, she's lost it. We knew it was coming. And I got up and had a big sigh and I felt so much better. But, you know, there's that part of it too. We hold in our emotions and don't even let those out.
Well, this is part of it. This is part of what I'm trying to express. It's about expressing something that has not been expressed before, that I'm trying to express, that I'm needing to express. I'm needing to express the expansion that I'm more than I've been made to feel that I am. And I feel that this is inside everybody. It's not just me, but this is the urge. This is this primal urge that is forcing its way out from our very core outwards and pushing everything that is not us out with it. And that's why the world is going absolutely ape at the moment, because everybody's expressing this, that which we are not. And that which we are not is violent. We are not violent beings. We are not hateful beings. We've been made to be like that. We've been starved, we've been traumatized, and we've been beaten to beyond our ability to stand it. And we've been reprogrammed and treated like animals. And I think it's really time for this whole thing to finish. Don't you think?
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, we've spoken of karma before,
yeah.
And it's not just what we physically do in our lives. It's what our parents have done. It's what our grandparents have done. It's generations of mess that are in our cells that we have to stop and look at. We do. We have to. And we have to start cleansing ourselves of all of these past things. And, you know, like you said, we're at that time that we have to do it. I physically have to do it because my body doesn't, or maybe the cosmos, the great source itself doesn't let me. One.
Thanks. Stay tuned to Journeys with JP and Tracy Kennedy till after the break. We'll be back. Don't go away. Hang on, what note is that? Journeys with JP tonight with Tracy Kendi. We're talking about the global feeling that everybody's feeling that, well, when I say everybody, me and like people that I speak to, so that's everybody as far as I'm concerned, but I'm sure that other people are going through something like this, because it feels like we've been doing this exercise for quite a couple of years now, of gauging, sensing the mood, gauging the mood of the world, of the higher consciousness, not the reptilian brain consciousness that we're talking about. You know, if you want to see that, you can look at the news, you can look at sports and, you know, that sort of stuff. But if you look at the alternative circuit, you'll see various topics rise and fall, and, you know, comets and aliens and Nibirus and all of these things come and go, and there's a kind of underflow of ideas and thoughts. Some are planted, and they're often, you know, quite easy to see, you know, to discern. But there are energies that manifest themselves as thought information that appears just as exactly at the right time, and then we also have these morphological field feelings, and that's the area that I'm talking about tonight with Tracy Kennedy here. And what's interesting is that I've spoken to various insiders, and we've all had insider contact. And sometimes, when you're speaking to them, and you go onto a subject where you know they've been told not to say anything, or they've been basically brainwashed, or whatever we used to call it, into not saying anything about this kind of thing, that they start falling asleep and start yawning. And this is the feeling that I've had all through this show. I'm trying to express it. And it just nubbed me a second ago. That's it. It's like we're not allowed to talk about this. And I like that. Don't you?
And we both were.
Yeah, I still are. As soon as I put my mind to that, I start feeling drowsy. My body starts feeling weak. It's floppy, you know. Not quite relaxed, but just kind of powerless. Interesting.
Well, I don't know. I'm finding myself sensitive to all kinds of things that didn't bother me before. For instance, I'm sick of being yelled at. You don't have to yell to get your message across. Like even some commercials that I've heard, especially, you know, alternative media has a tendency to want to shout an answer to you. You can't handle the truth. Listen, I can handle anything except you yelling. I've noticed that. I'm very sensitive to that kind of stuff now, too. It really bothers me. I don't need a message yelled at me to hear it. Oh, by the way, the cat you hear in the background is my new cat, who is part Siamese and a very loud boy.
Oh, I can't hear him yet, but he is rather beautiful. He's a little black cat, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
And he's not called Basti.
I call him Magic, and will you get down? He's 4 and exploring everything. And don't hiss at me. Get off of that. See? Sassy. I'm surrounded by males, and they all have opinions. I'm against that. But
males with opinions. I'm sorry.
Yeah. He needs to stop. And he needs to stop that right now. Sorry.
Oh, sweet. So you got this little bundle of fur and claws, and is he cuddly? Does he kind of snuggle up and sit on your lap and stuff?
Actually, you know, he was really traumatized when he first came. He's been with one family who had to give him up, and he hid for the first couple of days. So my cat, who doesn't like anything new, ended up sitting outside where the new cat was hiding. It just sat there quietly, and I'd bring out food and put it there, and for a while I sat out beside him. And then one morning I got up and went out in the kitchen because I have a little routine, and then he just came up and was talking and rubbing up against me, and I'm like, okay. So now he's like in and out and getting into stuff, and they're chasing each other around. It's so much fun. And knocking stuff over, because he's 4 and still very active. And it's nice, because my cat was lonely. It's been a year since my other cat passed away. So he needed a buddy. They're both boys, neutered. And it's good. Good part of addition to the family. And they sit and rub little faces. He's just a lot more aggressive than Missy. Like, he comes right up and kind of headbutt you. I need to be petted now.
You've got a boy cat called Missy.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
Oh, Missy for mistake, yeah?
No, Missy because we thought it was a girl.
All right.
You know, when we first got him, we found him. And he was really, like, fluffy and, like, cute. Really, like, cutie, fluffy. Oh my God, I'm going to die. He's so fluffy, kind of kitty. And so my husband decided to call him Missy. See what happens when you let men have an opinion. And then we took him to get fixed. He said, no, that's not a girl, it's a boy. I went, well, no sense changing the name now. My mom said he's officially disabled now because I've misnamed him, but I don't think that's a disability.
Not only misnamed him, but also neutered him. Well, I mean, he probably came home a little confused, and he's getting used to it now. But so he's got a friend, and
he's got a buddy, and they're getting along.
So, Could we say that this could represent maybe our star elders coming to visit us on the planet? You know, but take, going the way of I just thought, oh, God, I'm just like the local vicar. taking like a really regular everyday story and making something cosmic out of it. But anyway,
Everything is that way.
That's true. You know, you have your world.
Yeah, he needed to be here.
Yeah.
And it was time to bring in a addition to the family, and he's fitting right in. I don't know why males feel the need to boss me around so much, which makes me laugh. So, yeah, here I am, surrounded by two males who just decided they needed to talk to me. I don't know if Timmy's in the well or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, coming over. Hi, you've been sitting there for a while. What's going on?
Yeah, well, maybe they're wondering who that voice is. Guy, you got on headphones?
I have the headphones on, yeah.
I was going to say hello to them. Meanwhile, welcome back to Revolution Radio. This is the kitten half hour, and we're going to talk cute and fluffy for the next.
But we need that too, and I'm feeling that as well. Maybe that's part of the thing. I feel a need for softer, gentler things. I'm also feeling like I'm living more than one life at a time, and this is weird. It's like I keep flipping back and forth between lives that I feel like I'm actually living, not dreaming about, but actually sometimes living another life and then sometimes coming back to this one. I was laughing with B on the weekend that I've gotten to the point where I put a bracelet on to know that I'm here. Where does that?
This reminds me of that Star Trek episode, the last Star Trek ever, called All Good Things, where Picard is there's a the one scenario is that they're sending a ship to a particular point in time and space, and they're sending all these different several times in space. They're sending the same ship to the same point at different times, and they're creating a rift in time and space. And Picard finds himself snapping between these lifetimes. At one time he's an old man, at one time he's a young man. You know, it's all these different lifetimes. And then, of course, who turns up at the end but Q? To judge him, as they do, just like Q does. Oh, what a brilliant character! So, so have you seen Q yet?
He has not made a presentation of himself, but I definitely feel that I'm living two completely different lives right now, and I'm more sensitive in this one. Sounds are affecting me. Even words are affecting me differently. Things like when you started, you know, irritations. Things are more irritating when they're wrong. I feel if something's right or if it's wrong and it's not something I have to wait for, I know immediately because it affects me. Physically, mentally, emotionally, I need calm and quiet and peace. And fluffy and cute and soft, I guess.
Well, yeah, I concur with that too. You know, this sense of like, please take me away from this rather useless, irritating. It's like, why are you still like this? Haven't you moved on yet? Kind of feeling. It's a very odd feeling, again I'm getting this yawny thing that I'm trying to speak and I'm not able to weird. I'm not normally, you know, I had a decent amount of sleep last night, you know. It's
so odd for you because you don't get much sleep. You know, you're up to all hours.
Oh, no, no, I do sleep. I sleep late, though. You know, I'm just shifted. I get 7 hours sleep a night normally, you know, or a morning. Yes. I'm not an insomniac, no. I've got decent sleeping patterns. It's just...
You need to be up late.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, but I do speak to a lot of friends in Britain who are insomniacs, so there you go. I do live within a night owl insomniac society. But this is part of why I am this way, because in the daytime there's so much kind of clamour and mental clutter psychically that I feel that I don't want to be around that. Especially in the morning. The morning's full of people thinking too much. It's good that they have a lunch. It kind of dulls the thinking down. I can kind of walk around. I do feel very drawn down by this psychic atmosphere. And that's why I like it at night. It's quiet.
I usually get up early. And... I like to take my walks first thing in the morning before there's many people out. And the ones that are out are very friendly and nice. Chatty sometimes. Well, you know, I haven't been able to do even that, but I can sit out on my balcony right now. That's as far as I've gone. Will you go see what's wrong with him? Thank you. And I don't know, I found maybe I'm just lucky that, well, because I've told people I'm not feeling well, they're especially gentle with me, so that helps too. That helps. See what happens when you tell people how you're feeling? This is a new thing for me. I'm just getting the hang of it.
So when people say how are you, you let them know.
Well, for the most part, although when I'm like this, it's the most difficult to speak of. I don't like telling people I feel pain.
No, or nobody fear. Likes to complain, do they?
Yeah. No, I don't. I really don't like that. I don't like to share that kind of thing at all. Usually I'm really quiet about it, so I say I'm okay, and yes. I suck it up,
yeah, like everybody does.
Yeah.
You know, because we're told that we're not supposed to do that sort of thing. We're not supposed to tell people how we really feel. We're supposed to say, yeah, fine, yeah, I'm fine, everything's fine. What is it? Messed up. messed up, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. Not messed up, but fouled up, yes.
Emotional.
Yes. Fine. Yeah.
And that's true, too. I found that my emotions have been on edge. Completely on edge, like...
Interesting.
Things that normally wouldn't bother me are. And again, it's that perhaps inflammation that's happening all over the planet and the irritations.
Yeah, I think so.
We have to look at where this is happening. Specifically, it's happening for the worst part on my left side of my body. My left side of my body is almost entirely without feeling. And I can't hold things in my left hand, which is odd because I'm realizing how much I use my left side. So that's my, what, female side? Well, my female side's not talking to me. And I'm the girliest person I know. I can't believe it. What do we do for her? I've got no idea. I can't imagine how men even talk to us. So, yeah, I'm not just passing men today. I have no idea what to do for my female side, who is not talking to me, apparently.
Well, that's interesting. Well, my female side is saying, it's I got a shoulder issue. My left shoulder has been, I can't, for as long as I can remember, it's been, it's hard, you know, like when you put on a rucksack or something like that to make that kind of twisting motion.
Yes.
Or putting a jacket on or something like that. I've got this, it won't do it, it hurts too much. So, this is, and I get this is a sense of like I'm somehow disempowered or I've been twisted too much. And that's what my female side is saying. So if we put that together, the female's been abused too much and it's had to cut off communication.
Maybe. I don't know, maybe I should buy myself chocolate or something. I don't
know. No sense in waiting for the cat to buy you some. So,
yes.
Okay, so, and then what's happening on the right-hand side, Trish?
The right-hand side, I have more feeling. But I have no strength. For instance, you know, I'll pick up, I can lift a cup of tea or coffee with it, but it's difficult and I have to really think about it. To use any part of my body, I have to really concentrate. So it's by will alone that I am moving. It sounds like Dune, that I'm navigating a ship. That's what it feels like. To use my body, I am consciously making it move, and I have to think about it because, okay, if you just sit quietly for a minute and pretend you can't feel anything and then try to move, even your body will be hard. Well, I physically, for the most part, can't feel it. So I have to think the movement of standing up. I have to think it before I do it. If I don't think it, I can't move. So what I'm doing right now is using my will, which is my right side, that is my male side. I'm using, apparently I'm not using my heart or my left side would be fine, but maybe I need to strengthen my will. Maybe that's what I physically need, mentally and emotionally need. I'm using my will to propel myself.
So what has it been propelling otherwise?
Well, propelling my freaking draggedy butt right now. I kind of have a little bit of dragasmia. It's a medical term. Think about it. So what I'm doing is learning how to navigate this body, which I am not. I'm not this body, and I'm feeling that too. This body is not me. And I'm having to deal with that too. It's a strange feeling.
So would you say that that was dissociated?
Yes. Yeah, I feel completely not attached to this body. Like I'm just in it. Doesn't feel like mine.
Skin suit.
Yeah. Feels like I am in this thing and it's not me.
So that's interesting. So I'm looking, I was just kind of, my right side feels normal. So out of the four of us, you know, male with, you know, female side of male, male side of male, female side of female, male side of female, there's only one of us who feels all right in this room. And that's the problem with the world, isn't it?
Who feels right?
My male side of the male body.
Oh, yeah. Well, my male side is stronger. But maybe I'm having to learn, maybe I'm learning how to use it. Maybe I haven't used my male side enough. Maybe I need to.
Or using it with compassion, because it's realized that the female is not listening anymore. I think this is where the issue is coming, and this is the issue in the world, is that the women are, every woman is just about raped and beaten and abused from the moment she's born. It's not a good time. It's not a good time to be human, but it's certainly not a good time to be a human woman, particularly in the non-first world, which is like almost everywhere now. Not a good time. So it's understandable that something needs to change, and before something has to change, attention needs to be paid. And if attention's not being paid, then what do? Some kind of sanction. Some kind of strike, some kind of, I'm not doing what you want to do. I'm not being an instrument of your will anymore because it's totally against mine. And this is the concept of dominion over domination. So, somehow, I think, Tracy, that you're in a process of learning about how to live within the skin suit in a process of dominion rather than the process of domination. How does that feel?
Either that or I'm getting ready to leave it.
Not yet.
Maybe I've had enough. I feel no fear of this. Not that I feel no fear at all. I feel no attachment to this either. At all. I'm willing to let this continue. I'm going to experience it. I'm going to enjoy it because these strange sensations are at least interesting, and see where I go with it. I'm not afraid. Whatever this is, I'm not afraid of it.
There's been a lot of talk about what people call ascension or rapture and all these different ideas about what we could be talking about. There's also been the talk of the planet kind of becoming two planets and some people going one side, some people going another. All of these things seem to be either metaphorical for something. It feels like, you know, some sort of it's like a transformation without death.
Yes, exactly that. That's exactly what it feels like. You know, I was talking about this on a show a couple weeks ago and talking about the difference. And it's a long one, this would take a whole show, but I was talking about reincarnation, how it can happen while you're alive, how you can change yourself, which is the meaning of the jinn, that is the spirit of transformation. That's why I named my son Damon. That's why Christians had later changed it to demon, but it's the jinn. It is the part of yourself that can transform. It's a serpent energy, which is your kundalini, if you want to call it. And it's the only way to escape this karma cycle in your life now. I think that's what I'm doing. And that we all have to do that. Okay. Understood. Mm. But now are you carrying out your mission, Tracy? Yes.
Of course. Your mission, this is your mission, to have this conversation today.
That's right.
That's, yeah, this is...
I was kidnapped.
You were abducted. She's paralyzed in her sleep. And actually on this show, under duress.
Under duress? No, you just said you want to, and I said, sure. Because usually when that happens, we need to talk about something. And we hadn't talked about this all day. We hadn't talked about it all weekend.
No, I mean, you know, we... Knew. we haven't spoken about it for a good week or so. You know, stuff's going on. I've got stuff going on. You know. So it's good to recapitulate. I mean, the show is journeys, and it's because we're all on the journey, and the journey doesn't necessarily mean, you know, traveling from place to place. It's a journey in consciousness, and it's a journey in awareness, and mostly being self-aware. It's a journey within. So we find ourselves somehow handicapped or forced to stay still. You know, we could break a leg, or we could have some kind of accident or something like that that would force us to reflect what is really going on, what is really true for us. So when people, you know, have their issues, have their diseases, I often think, you know, what is spirit or their body trying to say to them?
Yeah, because that's how our body communicates to us. So you have to look at the feelings you're having, or lack of feelings, and take the time to really look at it. Go over your dreams, go over your daytime visions, if you have those, and really take a look at what's happening with you. That's what I'm doing.
And really, it's like the earth. Looking at her own, you know, imagine every country on the planet, the surface of the planet, is like a different chakra, different organ,
yes,
all laid out.
And that's what I was saying, you know. When I'm feeling physical symptoms in certain parts of my body, I've started to look at the earth and see where she's having problems. And it's seeming to correspond.
Yeah. It's again, it's the fractal, it's the as above, so below, the omniverse that we're part of. And I think this is where I'd like to get to in terms of the empowerment. Because once you realize, once you start noticing in your own life these patterns emerging that seem to be a reflection of the greater pattern, or maybe something that you're aware of, some other large event that's going on, you know, an invasion of a small country somewhere due to greed over oil or something. What is it in our own bodies that is reflecting that same force, that same energy, that same intent? That we've still got that going, and perhaps in a way, if we can understand that in our own bodies and change that about us, about ourselves, the way we have, you know, I always like to refer to the inner Nazi. You know, if you were in 1930s Germany and you were part of the Nazi party, it was a really great thing. You know, it was a really cool thing to do. And you didn't think about murdering other people. You just thought about how beautiful this garden is, how wonderful we are all doing this beautiful thing together, how beautiful we all are, how blonde we all are. You know, you don't think about how it is outside. You think about your own perfection. And I think that's our inner Nazi, is that inner part of us that wants everything clean and perfect and spotless without any challenges and things like that right now. That's our inner Nazi. And anything that we do that feeds that energy, we need to look at, because that reflects what's going on in our world. We need to have a slightly dirty floor, you know. We need to have slightly odd-shaped features Just very slightly, because that's our individuality. That's our beingness, our uniqueness showing through. So, let's have a look here. What's happening? All right. I would like to say to people who are in the chat room, if you use all capital letters, that's usually restricted to people who are asking questions of the host, rather than just shouting. It just feels like somebody's shouting in the chat room. But do continue chatting. I'm looking in the chat room, looking for any questions or comments that we can. A Ubuntu? What? Conjure up a Ubuntu? What's that about? Right. Okay. Big letters. Big letters. Too many big letters. Wonderful. Right. Tracy's been away. That's why she's not come back.
Sorry.
Oh, no. That's fine. There we go. No, I was just looking at the chat room. There's somebody's shouting their heads off. Yeah, and even that's, you know, I find, you know, that's it shouldn't irritate me, but it's like,
is it irritating you?
Just somebody talking in the chat room with big letters, you know.
Stop.
It's like somebody's shouting. I can feel it. It's letters. I'm sorry,
you told them to.
That's right.
Please don't listen to JP, it annoys him.
Certainly, stop listening. Stop listening to what I'm saying. Don't do anything that hang on a second. If I'm telling you to stop listening to what I'm saying, and that gets complicated, doesn't it?
It does.
Peanut butter and jelly. Yes, I hope that's fine.
I like peanut butter and jelly.
Me too. It's something I've only discovered through having friends on Turtle Island. It's not something that we do much here. But I tell you something that my spiritual teacher taught me is peanut butter and mayonnaise and lettuce.
Oh, that's disgusting.
No, it's not.
That is disgusting.
It seems disgusting unless you've tasted it.
Until you put it in your mouth.
It is divine, because mayonnaise, and here's the thing, Trace, mayonnaise dissolves peanut butter. It's very, very odd. If you want to make a softer peanut butter to spread it, add a little bit of mayonnaise, and it emulsifies it. And you add that to something crunchy and green. And I'm not joking. It really, really is an incredible sauce. Peanut butter and mayonnaise and lettuce. Fantastic. Great sandwich. It's divine. Honest. I mean, again, your mind will say, no, that's terrible. But until you've done it, you know.
Although, you know, I'm Canadian, so we do eat odd things up here. We have poutine. Do you know what that is?
Oh, Brian used to eat poutine. Can you tell me what it is? Because he described it, and he didn't do it very well, so.
Okay, so fries. And I like them so that, you know, they still have the skin on them. But you cut up fries, and then, of course, you fry those fries. You can't bake them. They have to be fried. And then you put on cheese curds, gravy, and over top of that, you put sour cream. Death by inappropriate carbohydrates, and it's worth every bite of it.
I
love fries and gravy. That's the best. Fries, gravy, and cheese curds. Oh my god, you gotta eat that. That's really yummy. I'm hungry.
Yeah, my ulcer is furring up just listening to this.
Let's do a cooking show. Maybe I'm embracing my male side and they like to eat.
Yeah, expressing the only feelings that men have. I'm hungry.
I'm hungry.
I need pee. I want a beer. I want to watch telly. I want to do all of these things.
Somebody go get me a beer.
Yeah, get me a sandwich. So,
and a sandwich.
Yeah, that's right. This is your male side, or is your female? Get me a sandwich. And the female says, yeah, get yourself one.
my woman would listen to me. God damn it. Oh, sorry. She would. Have her be in that kitchen cooking. Tell you that right now. I'd be a terrible guy. I would. I'd be one of those guys that, you know, everyone talks about. It's awful. I'd be that guy.
But you'd have a girlfriend who was really, really nice.
Yes, I would.
Really, really, like, over nice, please walk all over me kind of nice.
Perfect. She sounds lovely. What's her name?
Her name begins with, like, Penelope or something like that. Yeah, so I just have to address this. Beatrix, I am not Scottish. I live in Scotland. I'm ish. I'm not anything.
It's definitely ish.
I'm very ish. I'm a complete mongrel. But the peanut butter mayonnaise thing, it was my teacher who was, he was from Oregon, Tillamook, and he had this thing. And when he first started, you know, he says, my favorite sandwich is this. And I thought, no way. We tried it, and we were converted. It's a religious experience. It's divine. I tell you, once you taste it, it's always been here. Peanut butter and mayonnaise has always been here, but they've never been together. It's like finding your twin soul flame partner, life soul thing. Once in a lifetime. Love of your life.
Well, you like
chips, yes.
I like chips too.
Well, actually, when we say chips, we mean you mean fries. When we say crisps, you mean chips.
You mean potato chips.
Yeah.
I like potato chips too.
But when I say chips, I mean fries. So
fries. And you guys make the best.
They're very oily. Is the poutine, are the fries with the poutine, are they, so that the potatoes are not peeled, they're cut up?
You can't peel them. Mm-hmm. You wash them.
You wash them.
You gotta, yeah, I like them with the peel on still.
Mm-hmm. So, is it sort of soft on the inside, very soft and sort of slightly squishy, and then, and then you add the gravy and the, oh, wow.
And the cheese. Oh. So the cheese goes on first, then you put the gravy over top because it's going to melt it, right? Sour cream right on top.
PB and mayo-ish. Yeah, PB and mayo-ish.
And then you don't share them. Then you go like this, like, because you can see this. You go like this and you hide them.
I can see that. Or rather, I can't see your chips, but I can see
you.
I can see
it. It's protecting the chips.
Oh yeah, we had spam, the ham, but
mayo. I tried it once, and it was the most disgusting thing ever eaten in my life.
Yeah, there's this other thing they call bully beef, corned beef.
Corned beef.
Mm-hmm. So spam and corned beef. I do have a tin of emergency spam in the fridge. I think every house has to have it just in case somebody needs some protein, and like otherwise it's going to be somebody's neck.
In case it's the apocalypse, you got to have one of those.
That's right.
They last for like 170,000 years, and they still taste yucky.
That's right. no matter how long it's been there, it still tastes the same. Anyway.
It's like cat food. You might as well just buy cat food or dog food or something. It's nasty.
Actually, turkey bacon, Trem, is not bad. And it's very it's not bad for your heart. And, pigs and pork. That's been a bit of an issue in the last couple of weeks. My ex-wife married a Muslim, and my son has been having to deal with the fact that he can't have put bacon in the fridge in his old house, in his own house. It's like the pork wars have started. But the idea of, well, as many people are aware, since April I haven't been eating meat, and although I don't mind other people eating meat around me, I just don't do the stuff myself. The idea of eating pork has come under a lot of question recently because of the similarity to human and the idea that pigs are the cross, the genetic cross made between wild boars and humans.
Hear my show on that?
No, tell me what you've learned.
Oh, this is a long one, but we look like we're a hybrid. Specifically, hybrids have certain characteristics. One of them is a relatively low sperm rate in males, which for a mammal, human males have. As a matter of fact, there are certain characteristics of hybrids that we have right across the board. And what it actually looks like we are is a cross between some sort of pig and some sort of monkey and a little bit of something else unknown. And I had a whole list, and I'll find that article for you guys, of things that we are more like pig than any ape or monkey are. Our throats, for example, it's why they don't speak. Our throats are more pig-like. It's why, with almost no genetic manipulation, we can use pork livers in our own body and hearts and various other things. It takes almost nothing to change it. It takes more work to get us to use monkey or gorilla or ape parts. And it's very specific, the traits that we have. And I listed between our closest ape relative, because we are related. We're on this planet. We're freaking related to them. Get over it. And the things that we're like pigs, even our skin is very much like pig. Don't eat pigs. You're maybe eating your cousin. It's creepy.
Yeah, and, you know, well, I mean, I live in a very rural place and there are different animals around and, you know, cows have this character and sheep have this character and pigs have this character, but the character of a pig is very different from the other two. It's very much more curious. It has that sense of curiosity and moving towards things rather than being retiring. You know what I mean?
They're aware. I saw, and I think it was one of those, I think it was one of those shows that Dave introduced, the Ventura show, when he was going around looking at the genetically modified animals that I've talked about lots, but they knew for a fact this one herd of pigs, and I think it's in Ohio, is genetically modified to carry human DNA. There was a herd of them, not large. I think there was only about eight, but one of these looked into the... Oh, my God. I don't even want to see what that was.
That sounded like New Kitty wanting some attention or maybe dinner.
Yeah, they're playing. It's terrifying. I'll look later. But this pig looked at the camera lens, and I saw something there, and I'm like, oh, how much human is that? And it wasn't like the shape of the eyes were different. It wasn't like the body was different. It looked back at the guy looking at it. It's the only way I can explain it. And, you know, I had goosebumps all over my friggin' arms. I'm like, okay, you know what? And then they admitted, you don't actually know how human the stuff you're eating is, because there's this, that meat glue stuff they were talking about, well, that has human DNA in it. And I'm like, oh, what? Yeah, it's not cool.
You know, and I know we've only got a few minutes left, but this whole thing reeks of the externalization of ritual. This is something Katie and I have been talking about over the last few years. And one of the parts of satanic ritual they're trying to bring out is the eating of flesh, of the eating of human flesh. And there's this thing that there were human cells in the Catholic host, and that basically that they've been putting people into our food chain in order that we may partake in the mass satanic rituals. What's your feeling on that?
All of the ancient books, and I'm not saying I believe in any of them, talk about that specifically as being wrong. Specific. So I'm wondering why so many ancient books talk about it specifically and that we shouldn't do it. I think we know there are certain illnesses we have because people did actually go through a time that we were starving, and it looks like there was cannibalism. It does. All over the world. Especially certain spots in Europe, it looked like people were isolated. And that causes illness and brain damage and insanity. I don't like it. I'm not sure if I would call it satanic as much as I would call it incredibly evil. Evil. You know, I don't blame Satan. And I don't thank God other than when I say it, because I'm used to saying it. What I see on this planet is human and sick and wrong and twisted and human. Our frailties, our insanities that maybe create beings unto themselves. It's wrong. Something is really wrong and I don't like it. Especially that they're putting ourselves into the food chain, and that's not cool.
Yeah, I mean, Soylent Green.
So yeah, that's what I thought too, Soylent Green, man.
And the Matrix. I mean, if you look at the Matrix, what happens is that the dead bodies are liquidized and then fed back into the babies, and
that's right.
The whole cycle just continues. So
yeah.
On that cheery note, let's see if we can put a couple of let's have some some purple throbbing.
You were feeling icky.
Yeah. Well, actually, I don't feel so irritated. Do I feel so irritated? No, yeah, maybe not so much. I don't feel so yawny. But there is a sense that something is happening. Something is bubbling up. Something is coming up from within. And I think that will apply to coming up from within the Earth, coming up from within ourselves, and maybe something coming up from within the solar system. Tracy, how do people hear you and get to talk to you and do stuff like that?
Well, you can find me on turtleislandnews.info. I'm usually simulcast. Now, on Thursdays, I'm simulcast with Wolf Spirit Radio as well, although, when I found some things that are topics that come up, Dave usually plays my stuff. I'm also on These Changing Times, Scottish Sovereign on the Land, and No Borders Radio. Normally I do a show from Monday to Friday. I mean, I am taking time off right now, so I'm going to be guesting until I'm stronger, because I can't really research. I'm having problems with my eyes, and typing is hideous for me right now, so you can go to turtleislandnews.info and it's 24 hours a day that there's something playing. So drop by and say hi to me.
That's right. And yes, there's a chat room in turtleislandnews.info, and Tracy may be found randomly hanging out there, but you've got show schedules, and you've always got interesting articles about leading edge, cutting edge science, news, astronomy news. You've got your eyes open to the skies and reporting back. So I very much appreciate that, because sometimes you can be a one-stop shop for what's going on in the hidden world that is manifesting as the world that we see around us.
Oh, so kind. Thank you so much for inviting me on, Jay. I really needed to get that out, and I think a lot of us are feeling these odd things. And perhaps it's easier hearing someone else talk about it and maybe even feel like, oh, thank God, because I'm feeling it too. You're not alone out there.
Yeah.
That's why we're all gathering together, guys, and I'm so grateful for that, and thank you so much, JP.
You're very welcome. Thank you. If you wish to have a conversation with myself, you can contact me on everbeyond.info. My archives of every show that I've ever appeared on is there, and thank you very much. I'll come back next week. Join me on Sunday on Wolf Spirit Radio. Until that time, have a beautiful week, and I love you all. Good night.